a device like a small-wheeled cannon, newly introduced into the mining operation. Ettis, the squad leader, harried them along, a thin, wiry young man, sharp-featured and sharp-voiced.
Come on, keep it moving. Mustn't keep our lords and masters waiting.
He pointed to a tunnel directly ahead.
Straight down there.
Suddenly, a glowing spot appeared on the cavern wall. With terrifying speed, it grew into a blazing corona of light. And in the heart of the fireball appeared a familiar and terrifying form. The miners staggered back before the blast of heat, covering their eyes and bowing their heads in fear. A ray of light sped from the heart of the apparition. It touched one of the miners. His body glowed brightly. And he screamed once and vanished. His fellows turned and fled in terror. Behind them, the glowing apparition faded from the cavern wall. In a tunnel, not far away, two relative newcomers to Peladon were engaged in an earnest technical discussion. One was called Vega Nexos, a mole man from the planet Vega. Most of the inhabitants of Vega lived in tunnels of one kind or another, and the Vegans were famous mining engineers who sold their skills all over the galaxy. The second was an Earthman called Eckersley, a tall, lean man with a wry, sardonic face. Like Vega Nexos, he was a mining engineer. Both wore light silver coveralls, the badge of the technician throughout the galaxy. Eckersley was brandishing a chunk of rock, shot through with gleaming metallic veins.
I agree, the quality's marvellous, but we're not even producing enough to refine yet.
Vega Nexos gave a snort of discontent.
How can we when these primitives cling to their picks and shovels? We bring modern equipment here and they refuse to let us use it.
Oh, they'll come round in time, said Eckersley tolerantly. At least they agreed to try out the sonic lance.
There were yells from down the tunnel and the sound of rushing feet. A group of terrified miners rounded a bend in the tunnel, shot past them and ran on. Eckersley reached out a long arm and grabbed the last of the group, forcing him to a halt.
Hey, Ettis, what's going on? What's all the panic?
It is Agador. We brought the sonic cannon as you ordered, and the spirit of Agador appeared and slew one of us for blasphemy.
Ettis wrenched himself free.
Do you think anyone will use your alien equipment now, Earthman?
Before Eckersley could reply, Ettis had followed the others down the tunnel. In the throne room of the Citadel of Peladon, the great castle on the peak of the Sacred Mountain, a meeting was held to discuss the crisis. A huge stone-walled chamber was richly draped with hanging tapestries. Torches flared smokily in holders formed in the shape of the snarling face of Agador. At the end of the great hall, on a raised dais, was the great ceremonial throne, now occupied by the slender figure of Queen Thalira, a frail and beautiful girl, still very young. She seemed almost crushed by the weight of her crown and ceremonial jewels. Behind her towered the massive figure of Blor, the Queen's champion, powerful arms folded over his mighty chest. At the Queen's right hand, a little behind the throne, stood Ortron, who was both Chancellor and High Priest, an ornately robed, impressively bearded figure. He was the Queen's chief advisor and the holder of the real power on Peladon. A strangely assorted group was assembled before the throne. At the centre were the two engineers, Eckersley and Vega Nexos. Beside them stood Alpha Centauri, ambassador of the Galactic Federation. To the Peladonians, unused to the infinite variety of intelligent life forms, his was an extraordinary figure. The body was a single column, draped in a cloak, emblazoned with the insignia of a Federation ambassador. The head was octopoid.